Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Stop doing it.
Phil, have you gone mental?
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?
No, something tells me there might be a lot of arguing from this edition of Too Wretched for Radio with the one, the only, the fresh off the Shepherd's Conference tour, Phil Johnson. Outstanding Shepherd's Conference for my money, and I didn't pay a cent. I just watched it online because you stream it for free. For my money, it really was the most consistently high preaching I've ever seen at Shepherd's Conference.
Yeah, thank you. I enjoyed it as well. Of course, I always enjoy that week. It's my favorite week of the year, but it really did seem this year like every sermon was just right on and, you know, tugged at your heartstrings or stepped on your toes or whatever.
Okay, two things, Phil. Let me just help you out with your marriage here, okay? Unless your anniversary fell during the Shepherd's Conference, it's not the best week of the year for you. Just trying to help you out because want everything to be good at home. Regarding the preach, it wasn't just the conviction, it the delivery. I mean, if you were grading this, if you're a homiletics prof, the delivery just, it just doesn't get any better. But more than that, because delivery is a part of preaching, because there should be exhortation, there should be some passion involved. You should see something of the gifting of the pastor shining forth in some way, shape, or form. But it was the exposition, jaw-droppingly good. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, apparently I'm more excited about it than you are because I'm telling you, this is what our life has become. We sit in the kitchen, live streaming the Shepherd's Conference, eating Asian, is it Asian or Oriental? Eating Chinese food. That was our big date night, Friday and Saturday. Oh, good. We get to watch Mark Dever. Oh, good. Phil's just pathetic. And Phil, by the way, I watched your presentation, which was delivered, I presume, from the seminary chapel, correct?
One of them was I did a lunchtime seminar on Spurgeon and the church. That was this year the church, and they asked me to talk about Spurgeon and his ministry philosophy, and so I actually did an extended sort of recapping of a famous conflict that Spurgeon had with Joseph Parker, who was at the time the second
Sammy Hagar's grandfather.
No, but he was the second most favorite second most famous pastor in London at the time. And he and Spurgeon hit a time when they just didn't get along anymore, and it was very instructive just looking at what they disagreed about and what set the two men apart and their ministry philosophies. We're looking at it more than 100 years later, and I think we could learn a lot of valuable lessons. It's one of those episodes that reminds me why history is important, and those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it.
Well, let's focus on that, shall we? What do you suppose Charles Spurgeon, I think you could call him an evangelical, you know, he's evangelical based, you know, the fundamental tenets of evangelicalism, not necessarily the modern day American manifestation, but he was an evangelical. If we could somehow Michael J. Fox him into 2018 and he saw evangelical involvement in politics, what do you suppose the Prince of Preachers would say?
American politics or British politics?
I mean, no, American politics. Either, our involvement is evangelical.
Right. Either way, he'd say, you people are crazy.
he'd use, you know, a bigger word than that.
he actually tried, for the most part, as I do, to stay out of politics. You won't find a lot of comments on political issues from Spurgeon. But he was, in his era, a liberal. That's what they called him. He was a classical liberal, which would make him very conservative today. But he voted a lot for liberal causes. I mean, remember, he lived in the era right after the era that Dickens wrote about, with workhouses and lots of orphans. And, you know, the social situation in England at the time was absolutely deplorable for people in the underclasses. And he himself was, a rustic from the country, and he felt a great affinity with these lower class and disadvantaged people. And So a lot of his political framework was colored by that. And when he did say anything about politics, it was in favor of liberal policies. Liberal policies in that time being a quest for more equality and more, you know, fair treatment. And
so what you're saying is he was intersectionality and feminism.
No, I think he would look at both intersectionality and feminism, and that those are the kinds of things that would provoke him to say, are you people crazy?
Okay, but what about the American, just now, these are generalities, but increasingly, especially in light of the story that we're going to talk about now, that evangelicals are being accused of being knee-deep in politics. What do you think Charles would think about that?
Yeah, he would say it's not a good thing to be knee-deep in politics. God has not called us to be embroiled in the world's political machinery, and people who think that the ills of our society can be solved by legislation or political means are sort of barking up the wrong tree. And he would say, I think if you're called by God, if your vocation, your calling takes you into the realm of politics, great. But the church herself, collectively as Christians, we're not called by God to take over our culture through the mechanism of, our power in the voting booth. And so I think, yeah, he would look at evangelicals in America today and say, you are too involved in the political machinations of your culture, and you ought to get back to preaching the gospel, because that's the unique thing that you're called to do that worldlings cannot do. Let the dead bury the dead, and you go and preach the gospel.
Let's play stop, shall we? I happen to have for you from Fox News, which means it's evangelical approved Fox News. Believe it or not, this is a blonde woman who is hosting a program on Fox News. Just kind of shocked by that.
Can I just say I'm scared here, because I have no idea what you're about to play for me.
I know
you're going to get me in trouble.
And I take great delight in that. I don't mind telling you.
Right.
This is the story of Stormy Daniels.
Oh, boy.
This is a woman who presumably a number of years ago claims to have had an affair with the then married. In fact, his wife just delivered their son, Baron. And apparently she's accusing the president of having an affair. She was paid $130,000. We don't know the details on that. And now evangelicals are trying to defend Donald Trump under the light of accusations that, he was a philanderer. So I would like to share with you now, Bill, this on the left-hand side of your screen, if you're watching this, because you can't actually because it's radio, but it's Juan Williams, the blonde woman, and on the right side is Pastor Robert Jeffress from First Baptist in Dallas, I believe.
Yep.
Is where he's.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So this is Stormy Daniels tests Trump evangelicals. And Juan Williams and Robert Jeffress are discussing why Juan believes this is very bad for evangelicals. Aren't you gonna denounce the guy, say something critical about the guy? And Robert Jeffress defending him. I'm going to play this, and then when you can't take it anymore, you say stop. Are you ready?
I'm tempted to say stop before you even hit the play button.
Too late for that.
Look, even if it's proven to be true, it doesn't matter because
wow.
of what
okay,
I just
stop,
said.
Stop.
Yeah, I figured as much. Yeah.
Even if it's proven to be true, these rumors about an affair, it doesn't matter. There's a pragmatic sense in which I think that's true. I mean, Donald Trump's philandering was well known before he ever ran for president. He doesn't profess to be a Christian, and he hasn't tried to, well, maybe he does, but you know what I mean. He doesn't give a credible profession as an evangelical who believes in the authority of Scripture, and I think it's well known that he's been unfaithful to every wife he's ever had. He admits that, right? That's not just a rumor. That's pretty well established fact.
But Robert Jeffress, certainly orthodox and evangelical, very much a promoter of Donald Trump, stating to Juan Williams, who if you listen, Juan Williams is even shocked.
Yeah.
Look, even if it's proven to be true, it doesn't matter
because
of what I just said.
Yeah, okay.
Now, if he means it doesn't matter because that's not going to change the minds of, people who voted for Trump with regard to his politics, it's probably true. It doesn't it doesn't affect his political opinions or the political stance of people who voted for him. In a sense, that's true, but I think he's sending, at the very best there, he's sending an unclear signal for a pastor, and a pastor of a historic church.
Let's see if that signal gets cleared up a little bit, because Juan kind of grills him on this, and he's forced to clarify.
Juan, listen, a blue dress was not enough to turn you into a red Republican, and I believe anything Stormy Daniels have will not be enough to turn red Republicans into blue
Democrats.
But the
Democrats. Big question
this
is
about the policies and issues.
No, it.
All right.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
About the policies and issues. Juan Williams is kind of shocked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what he's saying is true there. It doesn't change the perspective of voters with regard to the policies. But it's kind of a cavalier statement to make in a situation like this, coming from the pastor of one of America's best-known evangelical churches, First Baptist Church in Dallas. That's the church that was pastored by George Truett and after that by Criswell. And it has a historic commitment to the authority of Scripture and the truth of the gospel. And my problem with Robert Jeffress is every time I see him on television, he's defending some political position. Sometimes I agree with the political position he's defending, but I hate to see the pastor of a historic church squandering camera time to defend a political position that in the end isn't going to matter in 15 years anyway, when I never hear the man proclaiming the gospel.
You know, in fairness, I've heard him try to sneak that in and get that in.
On TV?
You know, it's difficult on these talk shows. Yeah, it's pretty challenging, but he does it. He'll blast it in there.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I'm not suggesting that he never does preach the gospel. I'm just saying when you see him on television, most of the time, practically every time I've ever seen him, he's defending a political party even. Not even the principles. He doesn't seem to defend the principles. But in this case, he's defending, you know, red state republicanism.
Well, it seems to me that if this were indeed going back to Monica Lewinsky, just the tenor of it would be different. To me, this is just my subjective observation. This is lacking a bit of objectivity,
yeah.
Shall we say.
Well, that's a great point. In fact, the argument he's making could be turned against Robert Jeffress. He's saying if the Monica Lewinsky scandal didn't influence your opinion of Bill Clinton, then this shouldn't influence your opinion of Donald Trump.
Right.
My answer as a Christian would be to know that someone committed an act of immorality on that scale should affect our opinion of either man. It might not change our political positions, but defending the immorality of the man is a whole different thing. And that's what Juan Williams is trying to talk about.
Yeah, I think you and I need to be really clear on this, because I know Robert Jeffress, if he were in this room with us, he would say, of course I'm not defending an immoral act.
Right. And my criticism is he doesn't say that. He just doesn't say that. His whole argument is summed up in a very clear statement. It doesn't matter. Even if it's true, it doesn't matter. Well, yes, it does. In a number of ways, it matters. So it's just not the kind of thing you ought to have a pastor on TV defending a politician for having an affair with a porn star.
Okay, just for yucks. Bring, bring. Bring, bring.
Hello.
Got to answer your phone. Hi, Phil. My name's Larry Shekelstein. I'm a producer at Fox News, and we've got a blonde host, well, they all are, who would like to interview you about the breaking scandal, perceived scandal, of Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Would you be on the show?
Well, thanks for the invitation, but no, I only let one person embarrass me on live radio like that, and that's Todd Friel, and he's used up all.
Appreciate your loyalty, Phil. Gotta go. Okay, now let's just say you had a weak moment, and there you are. You're on the set of Fox News.
Okay.
Pastor Johnson, do you believe that what Donald Trump is accused of doing 11, 12 years ago is going to affect the way evangelicals support him? How would you have couched this or framed this so it didn't seem like you were giving a pass? You were trying to explain what was reality,
yeah,
but not coming across in a cavalier way.
Yeah, here's how I would answer. I would say, well, I would hope that evangelicals would never minimize or just blow off as insignificant a grossly immoral act like adultery or whatever else this involves. But whether it's going to influence how they vote or not, I don't know. It depends on who runs against him.
Pastor Johnson, should it influence the way evangelicals vote?
It certainly should be a factor in the way we all think. Absolutely. Because when you're voting for a politician, you really ought to think about the man's character, because it's folly to vote a man into office who is, you know, notoriously dishonest or immoral or whatever. On the other hand, if he's got an opponent who's even worse, you can probably expect that evangelicals are going to vote for the lesser of the two evils. That is what happened in the last.
Mm-hmm. But Pastor Johnson, why evangelicals seem to defend Donald Trump and his sexual escapades when they desired to impeach Bill Clinton for his?
Yeah, I don't understand that, frankly. I think that is a gross inconsistency.
All righty, then. Let's get back to Robert Jeffress.
Not, but by the way, what did Christ do at the temple? He threw out the money changers. Pastor, you cannot sell your integrity, your Christian values, and say, oh, because President Trump is anti-abortion, I'll support him no matter what. What happened to the principles? What happened to your love of people of character?
Now, that question scares me.
Yeah, because those are valid questions, actually. Those are the questions you would expect anyone in the world to, especially if they have a strong memory of how evangelicals responded to the Bill Clinton scandal. A fair-minded person is going to say, really, you ought to be consistent. Of course you should be consistent. So why is there a difference here?
So do you think that this is fair for us, Phil, to look at this and say, we seem to be swayed by our political convictions that seem to have more sway over us than our basic morality? That's just that's the way this is kind of playing to me. We use it to just club Bill Clinton, and then we brush this. I just saw Mike Huckabee. He was responding, Donald Trump, he called somebody in the media a very bad name, a very foul name at a Pennsylvania rally. And they asked Mike Huckabee about it, and Mike Huckabee laughed and said, come on, he just does this because he knows it's just going to get a rile out of the media. That's why he does this. And I went, oh, Mike, what about, that was a terrible, inappropriate thing. Yeah. Forget that he's the president. No adult should be talking like that. And I reject that totally. And I call him to do better.
Right.
Why? I couldn't believe it.
Well, you know, let's be honest. We live in very difficult times politically because there aren't great options either way. So you've got evangelicals who I think feel they're backed into a corner. They have to support the candidate whose political policies would be less threatening to our fundamental values. And though he himself might be a immoral man, if he's going to appoint just judges and so on who might have a better perspective, I think they feel like this is so important, they have to abstain from any kind of criticism. And of course, you and I think both of us would disagree with that and say, no, when he's right, it's fine to defend him. When he's wrong, and particularly when the wrong involves some fundamental moral or ethical or matter of integrity, then yeah, we ought to be candid about that, the same as we would with a candidate whose policies we don't like so well.
All right, tell me what you think about this metaphor. See, as a Christian, not only should you be careful about with whom you become a political bedfellow, but you shouldn't be getting into that bed at all. This is the problem with pastors speaking and promoting politicians. You can quickly get egg on your face.
Right. And those who know me know that I've been saying that from the beginning, that the solution to our society's ills are not political in the first place. So to sell your soul for a political agenda is pure folly to begin with. I would have said that, you know, 20 years ago as well. So it's not about this particular president or that particular candidate. It's a principle I think we need to understand, that Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. And the kingdom of God doesn't rise or fall with who's in power at any given time in a worldly government.
In other words, what I hear you saying, because I can just hear the emails coming your way, what I hear you saying is you hate babies. I think that's what you're saying right there.
For supporting him because of the principles that he stands for, not because of personal behavior. We all fall short. And when talking about what Christ did, he also caught the woman who was in adultery and said, I forgive you.
Yeah.
Go and sin.
Okay,
and you
know what? Really she wanted forgiveness. This president, pastor, has never asked for forgiveness, never acknowledged it.
You don't
he has tried
that,
to
Juan.
Silence
Whoa,
me.
You don't know Juan. That. We don't know what
you
happened
know
behind closed doors.
No, no, no. I'm talking about publicly, Sandra.
I have one very important question, though, Pastor. Will this support continue?
Yeah. You know, I'm asked the question, what would it take for evangelicals to walk away from President Trump? I'm his friend. I'll never walk away. But I think his policy changes, or if he were found to be in an adulterous relationship now, that would cause many people a problem.
But, Pastor, what about someone like Rob Porter abusing wives in the White House?
All righty, then.
You can't hear me saying stop, huh?
No.
I'm yelling stop at
you. I couldn't hear you say... Were you yelling? I couldn't hear you. You just thought I was trying to be mean. Okay,
yeah,
no,
no.
I'm sorry.
I mean, he said a couple of things there that I would have paused and commented on. He's referring to a disputed passage of Scripture in John 8 about the woman who was caught in adultery. That's a bad argument because the authority of that text is going to be questioned. And so that was number one. But I think the thing that really gave me a jolt was when he said, I'm his friend. I'll never, what was it he said, walk away from him?
Walk away from him, yeah.
Does he mean he'd never drop his support no matter what? Because he went on to say, if he's found to be currently having an affair, then he says, I think a lot of people would abandon supporting him. Implying that he himself wouldn't. Definitely, no matter what he means, he's sending the clear message that to him, the man's political stance is absolutely more important than, you know, any moral issues. I mean, my question would be, what if he committed an even more socially horrific crime, like murder or whatever? Would he still say then I would continue to support him? He's clearly sending the message that political policies trump, no pun intended.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Political policies are more important to him than moral issues. And I think that's not a good message for a pastor to send. I understand if he wants to privately support this or that candidate, but to go on the national news and defend... Because that is what he's doing here, defending an immoral behavior.
But see, Phil, I agree with you, but I think that it's important that we all don't miss this. Whether it is Donald Trump or whether it was Ronald Reagan, what you're currently seeing at the moment is the price that you pay when you throw your public support behind a politician. There's no guarantee that they're going to skate through 4 or 8 years unscathed. It could be Iran-Contra. It could be this particular story, and there's going to be many more. You are partnering with somebody in a different realm, and you're rolling the dice. And I think what we're seeing right now are evangelicals that are having to do an awful lot of backpedaling and looking like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth because of the stake that they've driven into the ground.
Right. And it's against a clear command of Scripture. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, you know, rebuke them. He's refusing here to rebuke an immoral act. Even if he doesn't believe it occurred, he hasn't said... Yes, that's deplorable. Yes, that's inexcusable. Yes, you know, I abominate that kind of behavior. What he said, what he literally said was, it ultimately doesn't matter. Now, he didn't clarify that enough to give the impression to the guy who's out there philandering, not to think, well, this guy's the pastor of the biggest Baptist church in Dallas, and he says, ultimately, it doesn't matter if you commit adultery.
This sounded far more political than pastoral.
Exactly. It's the verbiage of a politician rather than a pastor.
That hurts.
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Stop doing it.
Phil, have you gone mental?
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?